And I just want to start by reminding us what we've looked at over the last 4 weeks now. We've been on this series called Jesus Saves. And we have looked at forgiveness, justification, reconciliation, and redemption. And if you don't know what those words mean, because they are all quite long words, and if you are new to church, if you're a new Christian, or maybe you're just visiting today and you haven't ever actually made a decision to become a Christian, these words probably mean nothing to you, or they mean something different. So last 4 weeks, all the messages have been recorded. They're all on YouTube, FC Live, YouTube channel, FC Live. L-I-V-E, and you will find all the messages from previous Sundays, and is it Spotify? Well, the audio is, or go to our website, right? Always go to the website, family.church, and you can find all the recent messages. Today I'm going to be talking about something called sanctification. Turn to the person to your left. No, that doesn't work. It never works. I always do that. Turn to someone near you and say, sank. Turn to someone else and say, tiff. Turn to someone else and say, ick. Turn to someone else and say, ay. And turn to someone else and say, shin. Good. Sanctification. What does that word mean? Well, that word means to be set apart as holy. To be set apart as holy. If something or someone is sanctified, they are set apart as holy. Now, God's people, Israel, in the Old Testament, were called to be a people who were set apart from the other nations. They were separated to God, and they were separated to God to live God's ways. And if they could live in God's ways, there was so much blessing to be found in their lives and for their nation. Now, we'll come back to that later. But when you put your faith in Jesus, when you believe that when Jesus died on the cross, he took your sin, he paid the punishment for your sin, then you are immediately cleansed of sin, of all the stuff that doesn't meet God's perfect standard. You are immediately cleansed of sin and set apart as holy before God. Isn't that wonderful? That it's one decision we make where we believe in what Jesus did. That is what makes you holy. It says in Colossians 1:22, he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. That's going to come on the screen, I think, any second now. Or I didn't give them that scripture. So he has reconciled you, to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence. And you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. Should we just stop there? Because that is pretty amazing, isn't it? Like to know that simply by putting your faith in Christ, saying, God, I repent of my sin, I turn my back on my old way of living, and putting your faith in Christ, you now stand before God in his very presence, holy and blameless in his sight without a single fault. Everything within you right now is telling you, well, that can't possibly be true. What about the way that I was grumpy this morning with my family? What about the way that I did this or did that? I'm not going to give too many examples because it like reveals too much about me when I give examples. What about this and that? And the truth is that God sees you through Christ because you are now in Christ. When you put your faith in him, you became his and free of all the muck, all the mess that once contaminated your life. Isn't that wonderful? Now, the Bible says that we are all saints. Now, don't get cross with me for using that word in a church in Portsmouth. That word simply means holy people. Okay? Everyone okay? Okay. So the Bible says that we are saints, holy people. And that word saint is actually related to the word sanctification. You can see that they're related. Because of what Jesus on the cross, we have been set apart as holy before God. We are clean and pure in God's sight. Amazing. So sanctification, setting apart as holy, is something that has happened in the past. It has happened in the past. We have been set apart from the penalty of sin and made holy before God. Jesus took the penalty. So we have been set apart from the penalty of sin and made holy before God. Amen? Everyone all right? Okay. Don't be quiet on me. Or not too quiet anyway. It helps. Sanctification, setting apart as holy before God, is also something that will happen in the future. Jesus promised to return to this earth. And when he returns, we will be physically changed and become like him. We will receive a new, glorious body that is perfect and immortal. And we will live in perfection, set apart from the presence of sin. So we have been set apart from the penalty of sin. Amen? And that's happened the moment you believed in Christ. When Jesus returns and makes all things new, and we live in his perfection, we are then set apart from the presence of sin. But there's one more way that we have been sanctified, or are being sanctified, because some sanctification is also something that is happening in the present. Whilst we live in this world, God has called us to be set apart from the power of sin. We have been set free from the penalty of sin. We will be set free or set apart from the presence of sin. But as we live in this world, God has called us to be set apart from the power of sin. And indeed, we are set apart from the power of sin. Amen? So, sanctification is something that is happening in the present. It says in Ephesians 2, verses 8 to 10, God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things that we have done, so no one can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. Look at the person next to you. Masterpiece. We are God's masterpiece. And he has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Isn't that amazing? You're God's masterpiece. God looks at you. You're perfect and blameless and holy and clean in his sight. Isn't that amazing? You're his masterpiece. And not only that, he has planned for you to do good things. He has got good plans for your life. And I think that's something that is missed sometimes in the religious church, is people understand perhaps that they can have relationship with God, but they forget that God has a purpose for your life. Do you know God's got a purpose for your life? And it's never too late to start walking in his purpose. Hey, if you've only just stepped foot into church today, this is the first time God's got a purpose for your life. If you're 89 years old today, God's got a purpose for your life. If you're a baby, God's got a purpose for your life. If you're a teenager, God has got a purpose for your life. And don't let the world make you think that it's got a better purpose than the purpose of God. God's purpose is the perfect purpose for your life. And all you have to do to find out what that is just throw yourself at his feet. Surrender your life to him. So, we have been sanctified, set apart as holy. When you accepted Jesus, you were set apart from the penalty of sin. We will be sanctified, set apart. When we leave this world at death or the return of Jesus, we'll be set free from the presence of sin. And we are being sanctified. And this is the one I want to talk more about today. We are being sanctified. As we live in this world now, we are called and empowered to live free from the power of sin. Who believes that? It's the truth. As we live in this world, we are called by God and empowered by God to live free from the power of sin. You can live as a holy person before God. Now, how do we live as God's set apart, holy people? How do we live in such a way that God is honored and glorified in the way that we live our lives? Well, is it down to God or is it down to us? Well, some would argue that it's all a work of God. But this is what Paul writes in 1 Timothy 4 verse 7. Do not waste time arguing over godless ideas and old wives' tales. Instead, train yourself to be godly. So who does that put the onus on? Yourself. So is it all down to us? Galatians 3 verse 3 says this, how foolish can you be if you think it's all down to you? After starting your new lives in the Spirit, why are you now trying to become perfect, holy, by your own human effort? Okay, so is it down to us or is it down to God? Well, it's both. Philippians 2 verses 12 and 13 says this. Dear friends, Philippians 2 verses 12 to 13. Dear friends, you have always followed my instructions when I was with you. This is Paul writing to the Philippian church. And now that I am away, it's even more important. Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. Boom. There's your answer. There's your answer. God is working in you to give you both the desire and the power to do what pleases him. Amen? So is it down to you or is it down to God? It's both. We decide, we choose. I am going to live your way, God, but I know that I can't do it in my own strength. I need you. God, I need you to work in my life. Help me to want to live your way and help me to have victory over the wrong stuff. Help me to have victory over sin in my life. Because you are holy. You are a holy person. You are a saint. That's who God has made you. That's who you are in his sight. And that's who we need to be in our own sight. When you think about yourself, when you look at yourself, what do you see? Let's see what God sees today. Amen. Let's see that we are God's holy, cleansed, pure, perfect people, just as he has made us. Now, if you're following the notes on the app today, I got up this morning, I changed the last part of this message. So, as Pastor Andy says, I'm going off-road now, but not that much because I've still got notes in front of me. But if you're following the app, the notes now won't make so much sense. So you might want to just either make your own notes or put that down. Because I was just thinking about what I wanted to get across as the main thing today. And the main thing that I want to get across to you, the main thing that I want to remind ourselves of today, is that it's not in our own strength that we can live as holy people before God. It's a work of God's Spirit in our lives. It's a work of God's Spirit. We have to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. You have to make space for God himself to fill and to move in your life, to work in your life, if you're going to be who he wants you to be. Amen? Okay. So as we talk about walking as God's holy people, as saints, I'm not going to give you a big long list of sins to avoid. I'm not going to give you a big list of rules that you have to follow. I'm not going to give you a big law book that you have to follow, because actually the children of Israel in the Old Testament had that, and they did pretty bad with that. I mean, God's rules don't change. God's laws don't change. He gave his people the Ten Commandments, and it was very clear regarding the way that he expected them to live. However, they couldn't do it because they were trying to follow rules rather than allowing God to work in their lives and to do his work in their lives to enable them to live as he wanted them to live. The truth is that when we believed, our hearts were changed. Amen? Your heart was changed. The moment you put your faith in Christ, you were made new on the inside. The Bible says that you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. And so we now know in our hearts what displeases God and what pleases God. It's like his laws are written in our hearts and on our minds. Oh, that reminds me of a scripture. Hebrews 10, verses 10 to 16. Says this: for God's will, listen carefully to these words and try and follow and try and absorb these words as I read them. Hebrews 10 verses 10 to 16 says, for God's will was for us to be made holy by the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all time. And for every person who has put their faith in Christ, this is the truth: you are holy before God. Verse 11, now under the old covenant, so that's the law that the Israelites endeavored to follow, the priest stands and ministers before the altar day after day, offering the same sacrifices for sin again and again, which will never take away sins. But our high priest, speaking of Jesus, offered himself to God as a single sacrifice for sins, good for all time. Then he sat down in the place of honor at God's right hand. There he waits until his enemies are humbled and made a footstool under his feet. In other words, there is a time when Jesus will return to this earth and rule and reign, and this earth and the heavens will be glorious and righteous. For by that one offering, verse 14, for by that one offering he forever made perfect those who are being made holy. So that's speaking of you and me today. For every person who believes in Jesus, we've been made holy before God and perfect before him. As the Holy Spirit also testifies that this is so. For he says, this is the new covenant that I will make with my people on that day, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts and I will write them on their minds. God has done this incredible work on the inside of each one of us, where he has come and by his Holy Spirit he has placed in our hearts and on our minds his ways, his laws. And so we're not trying to follow a rule book anymore. We know what God wants, and our desire, our heart says, God, I want to go your way. Sometimes your mind doesn't, sometimes your body doesn't, sometimes your emotions don't, but what God, your spirit, your heart says, God, I want to live your way. Amen? So when you understand that you have been made perfectly holy by God, you will want to live that way. You will want to live that way. When you really get it, when you really get that God has made you perfect and holy, that he looks at you and says, wow, this creation of mine blows me away because they are perfect and holy in my sight. When you see yourself as God sees you, you want to live that way that God has made you. Amen. You're a vessel that has been cleansed by God. You know, once a broken and dirty vessel, you have been repaired by God. You have been made a brand new vessel by God, cleansed completely. And so now it's our job to keep these vessels pure and holy as we live in this world. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 to 20 says this. Don't you realize that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price. So you must honor God with your body. God bought you. What's the high price that God bought us with? The death of Jesus. Jesus dying on the cross for us, taking our punishment on the cross for our sins to make us holy. By the way, third day, he rose from the dead. By the way, he reigns in the heavens. He reigns in glory. And by the way, he is returning to make all things new. Amen? So, you like that bit? But we got to see ourselves as God sees us. We've got to remember that we are vessels of God's Spirit, of God's presence. You're a container of God's presence, a container that was once contaminated, that God couldn't come and dwell in. But now God dwells in your life and he empowers you. He gives you everything you need by his Holy Spirit working in you to live as he wants you to live. Praise God. So how do we do this? Well, we ask God to fill us. We ask him to consume us with his presence. Could the band please come? We ask him to consume us with his presence. We also walk by faith. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 7 says, we walk by faith and not by sight. It takes real faith in God to walk in holiness. Now, as the band come on the stage, try not to get distracted, because I just want you to catch this as I start to close what I'm talking about today. It takes real faith to walk in holiness. We have to know who we really are. We have to really believe the work that God has done on the inside of us. Amen? That God has made us his holy and a perfect people in his sight before him. And it takes faith to really believe that God has called us to live differently to the world around us. But he has. And if we really understand that God is watching our lives, and if we really understand that heaven is cheering us on to do well as we walk through this life, then we will endeavor to walk as God's holy people, the people that he has called us to be, and the people that he has empowered us to be. Amen? If we really believe that, we walk by faith. Hebrews 12 verses 1 and 2 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. We do this by keeping or fixing our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. That's how we live for God. How do we do it? We put our eyes on Jesus and we ask God to fill us with his Holy Spirit to empower us to live as he's called us to live. We strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that trips us up. God doesn't want you to live a life that is bound by sin anymore. He doesn't want you to live a life like the people of this world who don't know him yet, just going around doing things that are just fruitless and things that displease God. God has a way of living that he has for you, that if you can start to live in that way, will bring such victory and such freedom to your life. So do you really believe that God is watching your life, that heaven is cheering you on? Well, you need to, if you're going to live a holy life, standing up in this world and standing out as a child of God in this world as a saint, as a holy person. Just a couple more verses I want to read to you. First of all, from 1 Peter chapter 1, 14 to 16. Because it takes great faith to live obediently to what God says to his word. So 1 Peter 1, 14 to 16 says, "You must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. You didn't know any better then, before you believed. But now, you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. For the scriptures say, 'You must be holy, because I am holy.'" This isn't unattainable. And this isn't saying that you've got to be absolutely perfect in everything you do, because you might make mistakes. You will make mistakes. We all make mistakes. But what this is saying is, let's journey this. Let's endeavor to build right living, holy living into our lives, because that honors and glorifies God. Amen. Just lastly, it takes great faith to believe that our journey through this world is a temporary one. But it is. It's a temporary one. And glorifying God by the way that we live in this world brings great reward in heaven. Now, don't misunderstand. If you put your faith in Christ, you are saved. Your destination is heaven. But the Bible talks about reward in heaven. It talks about, as we're faithful to live as God's called us to live, there's reward in heaven. For being responsible with the things that God has given us. And so there's something to think about there, isn't there? But I'll tell you right now, I make mistakes all the time. At least one of my sons is in the room. He'll verify that. My wife is standing here. She'll verify that. I make mistakes all the time, but so do they as well. But my heart is to live God's way. My heart is to journey this thing out. My heart is to not keep tripping up over those sins that so easily ensnare. My heart is, God, I believe that as I live this life, I can glorify you and honor you in the way that I live this life. And I want to do that. So there's some stuff to think about today. But we're going to end with worship, because I just think we need an opportunity to allow the Holy Spirit to fill our lives, to empower us to be the people that God has called us to be. Before we begin to sing a song and worship God and allow space for the Holy Spirit to come and fill our lives, move in our lives, I just want to say one more thing. The world has nothing to offer you. If you think you can find true pleasure in this world, then you're highly deceived, because the world has nothing to offer you. God is everything. And the way to live in relationship with God, the way to bring God into your life, is to make a simple decision, and that is to put your faith in Jesus. That is to say, Jesus, I believe that when you died on that cross 2,000 years ago, you took my sin, you took the sin of the world, you took my sin, you paid the price, and in exchange, Lord, you gave me holiness. You made me perfect in your sight. And now I can live with you. I can live with the knowledge of your presence in my life every day. And I want to, God. I want to know your presence. And I want to live your way. And if you're making that decision in your heart today to say that you believe in Jesus, that you accept what he did on the cross, then I'd like you to pray a short prayer with me. So I'd like everyone to pray out, please, in your biggest voice, as we help those who are maybe praying this prayer for the first time today to make it their prayer. Say, "Dear Father, I accept that I cannot live up to your perfect standard, and I repent of my sin. Thank you for sending Jesus to pay the price for my sin. I believe that you forgive me and you make all things new. I surrender to you and want to take your path for my life. So please fill me with your Holy Spirit and empower me to live a life that honors you. Thank you for loving me. Amen. Just keep your heads bowed and keep your eyes closed just for a minute. If you prayed that prayer today, you have just made peace with God. God can now work in your life. God has a purpose for your life. He loves you and He wants to take your hand and He wants to walk you through the challenges of life, teach you His ways and help you to have victory in life and live a life that He designed for you. If you prayed that prayer this morning, would you do one more thing for me? Just raise your hand wherever you're sitting. Raise your hand and say, yes, I prayed that prayer. Praise God. Anyone else here today? There's a couple of hands that I've seen go up. I said, once I've acknowledged your hand, you can put it down again. Thank you. Anyone else here today? So you're saying yes to Jesus. You're saying, Jesus, I believe that you died for me on that cross, that you've delivered me from my sin, and now I have a relationship with God. Anyone else here today? Wonderful. Let's all stand. Don't fidget, just stand. Let's stand together. Father, I pray for these two people that raised their hands today. And I pray, Father God, Lord, that you will show up in their lives in such a powerful and such a strong way. Father, that they will know your presence even today in their lives. Father, we worship you and we recognize that the only way that we can live as your people, glorifying you, honoring you as we walk through this world, is by the power of your Holy Spirit in our lives. Holy Spirit, let's just lift our hands to God, church. Let's lift our hands to God. Let's close our eyes. Let's look at Jesus right now. Let's look at heaven right now. I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would come and fill every life with your presence, that you would fill us with your presence, that you would empower us. Empower us, God, by your Spirit to live lives that glorify and honor you. Just let God's Spirit just fill your life right now as we worship him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.